You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. What's going on, everybody? This is a big episode of the show. We have a lot on top of the pleasant. Let me bring in my co-host. The man that hails from Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. Give it up for Marcus. Y'all don't know the truth. I'm trying to tell you. Y'all is killing me. I was at Disney. I was working in Florida all week, okay? But y'all don't want to hear the truth. This is my life you playing with. Vandenberg.
We'll talk about him later, but I refuse to watch the interview.
No. Best promo of the year. Ronda Rousey can learn a lot from R. Kelly.
No, she cannot, because Ronda Rousey is at least a decent human being.
I'm speaking about her promo. She can learn a lot about cutting promos from Robert.
Well, what's going on?
What's going on with you, brother? Mr. World Traveler.
I know. Sorry, guys. I've been busy. But I'm back.
Well, how was Disney?
Disney was fun. Very hot for February.
Did you run into our buddy TJ?
Did not see TJ, unfortunately. The legend of TJ continues. But he, it sounded like he had a good time. He was there for a week, and we did not link up, unfortunately.
Yes, any big any Disney hotness from this time around? I mean, you're going to let the people know about that great picture you took with
yes.
Mickey Mouse?
Yes. So Saturday, we went to breakfast and I had the characters and happened to be wearing my Bullet Club-inspired Disney shirt. And it reads Mouse Club in the Bullet Club font. And Mickey comes around. I stand up, he looks at the shirt, and just shakes his head. So I couldn't tell if inside the Mickey, if Mickey was a wrestling fan,
right,
or was just very confused by the shirt. But I took
Mickey's
a picture with Mickey.
Royalties.
I don't know. I took a picture of Mickey, threw up the two sweet, and
Mickey did not reciprocate.
Mickey did not, which I'm sure is like some, you know, company policy. Later in the night, I had a jacket over the shirt going to dinner, and was going in the elevator to go upstairs for dinner, and the elevator conductor guy was like, "Hey, is that a Bullet Club shirt?" And I was like, "No, it's one better." And then I showed him the shirt. He got a huge laugh out of it and said, "Hey, you know, I used to work with Cody when Cody was doing his TNA run."
Mm.
He mentioned, I wasn't following TNA back then, but he mentioned something with Cody and Moose back in the day.
Yeah, they had a quick little program.
Yeah, so I just during that program, they were working together on something. And obviously, a huge wrestling fan.
Okay.
So
at least one person got a kick out of your shirt.
One person got a kick out of it. It's funny how you see other sort of wrestling shirts in the park. A lot of Undisputed Era a couple Bullet Club shirts. There's a guy on my last day there who was wearing another Bullet Club knockoff shirt, but his shirt was the Buffet Club, which I chuckled at. So there
were some fans everywhere. I like that. I might have to get one of those.
Yeah, I don't know where he found it, but it was the Buffet Club. So
cool. You weren't only out there for the Disney of it all, even though, you know, we got jokes, but you were actually working, weren't you?
Yeah, the first half I was working. I was there for APSC, which is a organization that is composed of mostly editors, and every year they judge the best work from writers across the country, and we are responsible for reading that work. So I think we had probably 70 judges there, and you get assigned specific groups to read, and you get assigned to specific groups. So the group will come to a consensus on the category you're reading. So that's that was like 4 days of the trip, the first 4 days. And then my wife flew out on that Thursday, and then we stayed from that Thursday.
Then it was Disney time. Monday.
Yeah, it was Disney time after that.
So did the big news in baseball happen during that week?
So we'll talk about that. Good transition. So Thursday rolls around, and I actually went to lunch with Eric Adelson, formerly Yahoo Sports.
And
I'm coming back. Yeah, I'm coming back from lunch. I just checked into the hotel we're staying at Disney, and I'm driving from the front desk to where the hotel actually is, the room is. Mm-hmm. And I looked at my phone, and I got an email from someone at NBC, one of our partners, who was asking about Harper Video. And I was like, oh, no, please, no. And I opened my phone, and I checked to see that, you know, Harper to the Phillies. So luckily we had a story ready to go. But, yeah, that happened Thursday afternoon, and that took up most of my night on Thursday. And luckily, I mean, I was a little worried it would happen during my vacation, but so I'm glad it happened when I was still working. But
yeah.
I was not expecting that to happen on Thursday.
Did it surprise you that he ended up going to the Phillies? Because I know that was a lot of the talk before the signing actually happened.
Yes and no. I feel like there was such bad misinformation out there during this process from reporters that it was a little hard to figure out what exactly was the truth, you know? Even I think earlier in the day on Thursday, there were stories about how Philly was, I think, you know, far under whatever Harper's asking amount was, which ended up being, you know, it could have been true at the time, but it could have been bullshit at the time. You never know. But so, yeah, I guess it was a little bit surprised it was Philly just because towards the end of this process, it was very much he doesn't like Philly. Wants to be close to Vegas, Giants or Dodgers.
Yep.
So 13 years, $330 million, very large contract, not the average annual value I think he was expecting or what people were expecting for him. I think it comes out to 25-ish million a year. Which, by comparison, Jason Hayward makes more money per year than Bryce Harper. So I think that was probably a bit of a concession for him. But again, as you mentioned on the show, if you take out Bryce Harper's 2015 MVP season, Bryce Harper is just a very good outfielder. He's not someone who has been consistently a great player. I mean, he's not Mike Trout.
Nope.
He's not even Manny Machado. So
yeah, when you look at it that way. I think Bryce Harper has, I don't want to go as far as to say star quality, but I guess in the world of baseball, he's a star. whatever that means to the mainstream public. But for the people that are out here like, oh, yeah, if Manny's getting this, then Bryce is going to get, you know, over the moon. It's like, nah, not really. They're kind of the same dude, and Manny's a better defender. So
better defender at a more high-profile position at short and third. He can play both. Harper, right fielder, a below-average right fielder at that defensively. So I'm looking at his numbers now. Yeah, 2018, 2016, and 2014 were – I mean, 2014 he was hurt. But I think people forget how sort of he was that year. 32 RBIs in 100 games. 2016, he had 243. 24 home runs, 86 RBIs. And then last year, he really struggled early on. He had a better second half. Finally had his first 100 RBI season. But hit 249. So, you know, I think the Harper apologists and baseball nerds will, of course, point to his on-base and OPS and his walks and runs scored. But it, you know, it feels like if you're going to sort of tout yourself as the best player in the game, then you need to produce, and he's not that. So,
yeah, and for the most part, his teams haven't produced.
Yeah, his teams have not won a playoff series. To be fair, Mike Trout has not won a playoff series either, and he's only been to one playoffs in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons. But if you compare the numbers from Trout to Harper, it's no comparison.
And it's also the other thing that kind of struck me with this move, Marcus, and, you know, maybe you could have some insight on this being part of the media, is Bryce Harper got a little prickly with the D.C. media. And if you think the D.C. media is tough, wait till you get to Philly, dog, and start struggling and have to answer some of those questions.
I don't know how this is going to go out, how to play. I mean, see, I don't know how this is going to play out. To be honest, if he has a season like he did last year, I don't know. Last season, before the All-Star break, Harper was hitting 214. After the break, he hit 300. If he hits 214 this season before the All-Star break, it will not go well for Mr. Harper in Philadelphia.
You don't know nothing about those Philly fans, Bryce. Like they gonna light you up. So, what do you think, just kind of last point on this, for the Phillies overall? Does this make them a contender in the NL East? I mean, you got your baby Braves, you got your Mets, you got your Nationals. Does this move with Harper put Philly at the top of the heap?
I would not put them at the top of the heap, no. They've added a lot of good pieces, obviously Harper being the big one, but they got Gene Segura from the Mariners, they got Andrew McCutchen they signed, they got JT Realmuto, who's probably the best catcher in baseball. They signed David Robertson to act as a closer. So there's obviously some talent there. The pitching, I think, is still, outside of Nola, a little questionable. I'm not sure what to make of Jake Arrieta these days. Vince Velasquez is sort of like an up and down guy. He hasn't been consistent. Nick Pivetta is a guy that no one's heard of, who got some promise, but not very good. So I think the pitching starting pitching is definitely a question mark. They have the money to go after Dallas Keuchel if they wanted another veteran starter.
Yeah. Is Kimbrel still on the market?
Kimbrel's still on the market, but I think the bullpen will be okay. It's just if you had the money to spend between the two of them, I would definitely go after Keuchel.
Yeah.
As for the NL East, I would have the Braves and Nationals still ahead of the Phillies at the moment. And then the Mets have also improved. So I think they will definitely, you know, be much better this year. So I think, you know, if the Phillies finish fourth, it would not surprise me. And if the Phillies finish fourth, Gabe Kapler is probably gone.
If the Phillies finish fourth, it's going to be a long offseason for Bryce and the team next year.
Yeah, well, hey, you got to remember, this team hasn't finished over 500 in years. I think it's been, 7 years, maybe eight years.
But now they have the best player in baseball, though, Marcus. So they should finish in at the top of the standings, correct?
Says who?
Says him and his fans. That's one thing that happened, Marcus, this past week. You know, we got a guy going to Pennsylvania, but in what might be a bigger story, given that football is a bigger deal, we got a guy leaving the Keystone State. That's Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. right? Or is that Delaware?
Yeah, that's right. Keystone State. That's Pennsylvania.
Okay. Shout out to ninth grade geography. we got Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers now headed to your neck of the woods, Marcus. What'd you make of that move?
That's all he's worth?
That's the first thing I thought. A third and a fifth. Like, really?
I mean, considering Martavis Bryant was a third last year.
And didn't the Cowboys give up a one for
Amari Cooper?
For Cooper, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to make of this deal. Antonio is obviously a very talented receiver, despite the off the field headaches. But
yeah, and it's no crimes. It's just like he's not.
I mean, I don't even call him a knucklehead because if his major gripe seems to be Roethlisberger, which
yeah, that is true.
You know, does not surprise me. So, you know, I think it sort of stems from there.
Yeah.
But there's no denying his talent on the field. He's you know, still a top three receiver in the league.
Yeah, even, what, is he 30 now?
He's 30.
Okay, yes. Even still, he's still probably got, you know, two or three top-tier seasons left in him.
Yeah.
Before we start to see the decline.
Six straight seasons of 100 catches and 1,000 yards.
Now, will that be able to continue with Derek Carr? That's the question. Will Derek Carr be able to stay upright?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Derek Carr is as bad as Raiders fans have you think. I just don't think, you know, especially last season, I don't think Derek Carr really had any receivers to throw to.
The one he had, they gave away.
Yeah. I mean, it got rid of Cooper, but you know, when you're bringing in Jordy Nelson and Martavis Bryant and, you know, Seth Roberts is just a backup slot guy.
Yeah.
Jared Cook had a great season tight end, but he's, you know, he's 31. He's not really a number one tight end. So I think if he has some protection and if the Raiders can figure out a solid run game, because I don't think Doug Martin's that guy. I think they'll be okay.
It'll be interesting. Like I don't know what's going on in Oakland or LA. I mm-hmm. also don't know what's going on in Pittsburgh, because was this the best deal that was available? Like, were you just trying to take the first thing you could to get this guy out of town, or was this actually the best deal that was on the table?
Yeah. I mean, we heard about the Buffalo deal that appeared to be done. It was reported as, you know, near done, and then that blew up because reportedly Antonio Brown said, "I'm not going to Buffalo. I will not play football before going to Buffalo."
So was this the only place he would agree to? That's the question.
I'm sure there's some other teams on the list, but who knows if those teams wanted to take on Antonio Brown. And
yeah,
we have to mention Antonio Brown ended up getting some money out of this deal, and he's now the highest paid receiver in the NFL. So it wasn't just taking Antonio Brown. It was also
taking
Antonio Brown's money with him.
And Oakland had the cap room. So
yes.
So that'll be interesting because I think this might be a case, Marcus, of the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Like, even if you hate working with Big Ben, I don't know if he's going to find the success in Oakland that he would in Pittsburgh. Maybe he becomes a bigger star, but he was already a big star.
I think he'll be a bigger star between, you know, being a Raider and then also the Vegas move, which he'll be around for. I think that will sort of help elevate whatever stardom he's lacking in his life.
Because it's worked out so well for your man LeBron. Oh, why, the shade.
Why you got
the shade? Hey, I will let you know, Marcus, this is a rare occasion where you and I will not be the most petty people on this show. Because
who takes the title?
This episode is in part being brought to you by Brother Jermaine from Chicago. Jermaine is producing the music breaks in between. And the next segment, we're going to be answering some questions that Brother Jermaine had for the show. So I think you might be the pettiest person in the world this week.
I think so.
So get ready. Like, if this show makes you angry, direct all of your complaints to Brother Jermaine from Chicago.
Feel free to tweet him.
Yes. It's been a bad week for people in Chicago.
Yeah. We'll get there.
We'll get there. So don't go anywhere. If you're watching on the Patreon feed, we'll be right here during the break. If you're listening to the classic audio version, we'll be back in just a second with more of the Kings of Sport podcast right after this. I thump hard and make them say that I'm God. Be pretending they're hardcore. Never know the meaning of.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Kicks my jam, lyrically deaf and connecting, complete mic record. No double checking, vocals kill like weapons. But if I have to, I go all out with no mic. Yeah, that's right, cause I survive mad fights. And for my peeps, I truly care. Cause without some of them, I wouldn't be here. They all know how I feel. The suckers be like playing themselves to have massive business. What is going on?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Sports talk for our generation.
It's all left up to us to change this present situation. Take a lesson from our elders. Don't make the same mistake. Let's do the world with love and get rid of all the hate. Our elders taught us one thing, practice another. Just look what happened to you. Freedom of jail, clips inserted. A baby's being born, same time a man is murdered. The beginning and end. As far as rap goes, it's only natural. I explain my plateau and also what defines my name. First it was nasty, but times have changed. Actually now I'm the artist, but hardcore my signs for pain. I spent time in the game, kept my mind on fame. Saw things shoot up and do lines of cocaine. Saw my close friend shot, flatlining my same. That depends, carry Mac-10s to practice my aim. On rooftops, tape CD covers the trees. Line a barrel up with your weak pitch. And squeeze street scriptures for lost souls in the crossroads, to the corner thugs hustling for cars that cost dough, to the big dogs living large, taking it light, pushing big toys, getting nice, enjoying your life is what you make it. Suicide, few tried to take it, belt tied around their neck and jail cells naked. Heaven and hell, rap legend, presence is felt, and of course NAS are the letters that spell.
We are back on the Kings of Sport podcast. I mean, if you're watching on the Patreon feed, we ain't never left you. But if you were listening to the classic version, we are back. And this segment is going to be really interesting because Marcus and I are not coming to the table with topics. These topics were provided by Brother Jermaine Jones, a faithful listener to the program. And Marcus, you and I have seen the questions. Are you ready to kind of get into the mind of one Jermaine Jones?
I will try my best.
So do you want to start with the least petty question and build up, or do you want to just dive into the pettiness?
No, let's build up the pettiness. I think I know what that one is. Yeah, so let's build up to that.
Okay, so let's start small, shall we say, and you know, kind of going off of our baseball topic from the A block. Jermaine's question to you, Marcus, is why can't Major League Baseball appeal more to black youth? It's a great game with a chance to have a longer career with better pay, and to have just one or two. Black people per team is just not acceptable. Marcus, we've talked about this before on the show. Why do you think it is that not only black fan base, black viewership has decreased for Major League Baseball, but also participation is not where it was in the 80s and in the 90s?
I mean, the first one, to be honest, we don't really know the answer to. I haven't seen any numbers around minorities in baseball in terms of viewership. So that one, I don't know
for
sure.
Just overall, the kind of decline in viewership?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is it's tricky because some local markets, there's not a decline. There's actually an uptick in ratings. A lot of it just depends on the team. You know, it's sort of team by team in terms of viewership. But on a National World Series rating, I mean, this year was bad. The season before was actually pretty good. So it's very much, I think, hit or miss. In terms of sort of like his bigger point in terms of black players in baseball, I think there was definitely a gap there where there weren't a number of black players coming through the pipelines through, you know, Little League, high school, the minors. I think some of that is changing, but because of the way baseball is sort of structured, it's going to take some time before we actually see the true impact on that on the major league level.
Do you know, are they still doing the RBI program?
Yep, they still do it.
Do we know, like, if that's had any impact over the years?
I think it has. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure baseball knows exactly what tangible impact it's had, but I think it's had an impact just from sort of observing from the outside. I mean, just go back to the 2017 draft where three of the top 10 players selected were black. Now, yeah, those guys aren't up currently at the moment, but when you have drafts like that where, you know, the top two guys are black, one and two, which I think was the first time in draft history for that to happen.
Kyler Murray would have been a top pick this year.
I mean, Kyler was drafted. Kyler was drafted 2018.
Okay. Yeah.
Kyler went number 9 to the A's.
Another top 10 pick.
Yeah. Trying to think who else was in that draft last year that might have been black.
You think the journey of baseball is part of the issue where – you know, you say Kyler Murray had signed with the A's. He wouldn't have started with the A's from day one. Whereas with an NFL team, you might not be the starter, but you're on the NFL team from day one. You think that there's kind of that instant gratification that the younger – I don't know how we sound like the old man in the barbershop. The younger generation doesn't want to go through that grind?
Well, I mean, you're talking about then specifically younger black men. Because there's still younger white players that are going through the same steps.
We might be opening up some social commentary here, brother.
That does not deter them. You know, making pennies on the dollar has not stopped younger white prospects from playing baseball.
Or Latinos.
Or Latinos who came here to play baseball. So there might be something there. I just think if you're an uber talented athlete coming up as a as a youth. I think getting into basketball is probably the easiest and the most affordable.
Yeah.
From a, I need to practice by myself. I can do that. I can pick up a ball and shoot and do all that stuff. I don't need the support of a field or a team or, you know, bats and cleats and all that other stuff. Football, I think football is still king in this country, will always be king.
Yeah. Particularly if you're talking in the South where, you know, a lot of black folks still live, you know, in you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. You know, that's a lot of the talent base that's going to the NFL.
Yeah, I think baseball is still a distant third in terms of I'm just a straight athlete. I'm gonna just decide to play baseball. It's just, you know, if you're that great of an athlete, usually you sort of tend towards football and basketball. So the trick is how do you then attract those athletes to play your sport? And part of that is just marketing the sport to those demographics, and that's something that baseball, not, and this isn't just a black thing. Baseball hasn't found a way to market the sport to any kind of youth, black, white, Latino, Asian.
Talked about Bryce Harper being a quote unquote star. Like, he's a big deal in baseball, but if you have Bryce Harper and Antonio Brown walking down the street, more people know who Antonio is, even though he's wearing a helmet.
Yeah. So that's something that baseball needs to figure out. And if it was that easy, then all the leagues would be rolling into. So it's going to take some time. But I do think they have definitely made some progress in the right direction. And I do think 10 years from now, we will see an increase in blacks in baseball.
You know, I don't know if I've ever, you know, broken into a little bit of a Hotep, Nate, if you will, on the video version of the show yet. So allow me to give you a theory, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
So, brother, when you get signed by a baseball team, where do they put you?
In the minor leagues?
In the minor leagues, brother. M-I-N-E-R-A. Like you're digging for coal. And when you dig up that coal in the mines, they squeeze it. They put pressure on it. What does it make?
Coal?
When you squeeze that coal, what you get out of it, brother? A diamond. Where do they play baseball? On the diamond, brother. So they putting these young black men in the coal mines to squeeze this coal so the owner gets a diamond, brother. Open your eyes.
That's an interesting way to spell minor in minor league.
That's why Rob Manfred will never be on this show.
Yeah, probably not.
That's actually a good question, by Jermaine, though.
Yes.
Like so far, so good. I'm not. I don't feel too worried right now.
Yeah.
So let's go to the second question that Brother Jermaine posed to us, Marcus. I would like to know about all these new school people who dare mention that LeBron is better than Mike. Mike showed up for every finals and never quit. I've seen LeBron quit multiple times and lose to an inferior Dallas Mavericks team. LeBron doesn't have the killer in him. Why do people say LeBron is better than Mike?
Well, I mean, technically Mike did quit. He quit on his team. But we won't talk about that year off. That's fine. Who are these people that are saying LeBron's better than Mike?
If I had to guess, it would probably be young people. And that's what young people do. Like, whoever
it
is.
Well, I mean, if you haven't seen Michael Jordan play, then of course you're going to gravitate towards the guy you grew up watching.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of this got kicked up again when LeBron passed MJ on the scoring list this past week. Like, there's an argument you can make. Like, if you use numbers and advanced metrics, that LeBron is better. But that's not an argument I'm going to make. That's not an argument that most people that saw Michael Jordan play would make, you know? So I think the LeBron slander too that Jermaine has in this message is a little suspect. Because mm-hmm. to me, LeBron is to the NBA what Tom Brady is to the NFL. Like, he's a guy that's done it for so long. He's been at the top. He's the face of the league. If you want to say Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback, greatest football player of all time, there's a case to be made. I personally think it's Joe Montana, but I'm not going to criticize you and yell at you for saying Tom Brady's the best. Same with LeBron. Like, I think Michael Jordan is the best NBA player of all time, you know, with a deference paid to Kareem and Wilt and those guys from a time before us. Mm-hmm. But if you're somebody that's 20 years old and you're like, LeBron James is the best basketball player ever, I could see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Especially at 20, where, I mean, 20 years ago, what, that's the, I mean, you were born, but you weren't watching MJ. I mean, at that point, MJ after that was sort of washed up.
The only MJ you saw was when he was with the Wizards.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, who is this? Whose grandpa's out there trying to hoop?
Yeah. So, yes, I do not think that LeBron is better than Michael Jordan. I think if you want to say LeBron is a better athlete than Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. sure, you can make that case.
Is he a more complete basketball player than Michael? Probably.
Sure, you can make that case, too.
Because there's more facets to his game.
Yeah, is he a better player than Michael? No.
Yeah, he's not a better player. He's not a better winner. He's not a better competitor. You know, he doesn't have that killer instinct.
Yeah.
But who did? Like very few people. Like Kobe, out of the new school guys, Kobe's like the only guy I think that had what MJ had in that aspect.
Yeah, Kobe was more of a MJ killer or MJ clone in that sense.
Yeah, because I like Tim Duncan, but Tim Duncan didn't have quote unquote that killer instinct.
Yeah. Now, do I think LeBron could have been that guy if he wanted to? Yes, but I think LeBron, in his heart, is a point guard.
He's more magic than Michael.
In a power forward's body, and he is someone who, you know, he's been a facilitator. Now, if he were to cut back on some of the passing and get more aggressive in terms of shooting, then sure. The interesting thing about LeBron is it's been 10 years since he's attempted more than 20 field goals a game a night. He's not trying to shoot high volumes. I mean, that's just not his game. If that was his game, then yeah, I think we would see, I mean, he would have passed Jordan a while ago, but I think we would see sort of more flashier numbers that would have represented, okay, this guy's actually, you know, MJ's level. Kobe, by comparison, not the last season, because he was really bad, but the season before that, he was averaging 20 field goals a night. Then he was hurt that one year, and then 20, 23, 20, 21.5, 20.9, 20.6. Like, he was just...
Yeah.
That's what Kobe was. And Kobe was a shooter. Funny enough, LeBron, his career, is actually... He averages more field goal attempts than Kobe somehow.
Mm.
But he also shoots a lot better from the field. Even if LeBron won another title, he's not. He's not MJ. He's never going to be MJ. And you know, I don't think he wants to be. I don't think he compares himself to MJ in that sense. And I think we saw a lot of that when he passed Jordan this week, where it wasn't like he passed Jordan and it was like, oh, I'm better. No, he was like really emotionally... touched by passing Jordan, because for him, Jordan was the way out of Akron. So I think he has too much of a respect for MJ to even think that he is going to somehow surpass his legacy. I just don't think that's in his DNA. Jermaine, are you good? Did you win your argument?
But yeah, and then the other thing real quick to Jermaine's point about the finals, Marcus, like outside of that series with the Mavericks, was he ever like the heavy favorite like MJ's Bulls teams were?
No, I forget that was Jermaine's argument about the Mavs series. I mean, he's had some straight trash. I mean, listen, despite how great Jordan is, he always had Scotty.
Yeah.
LeBron has never had a Scotty Pippen on his team. And I think that's what he's shooting for if the Lakers next season to have that number two. But he's
the only time he had it was when with Wade.
Yeah. I mean, the Miami era. And I think he's referencing that Miami Mavericks series, but.
But if you look at Cleveland, like the first team he took to the finals, where what? Boogie Cousins, Boobie.
Yeah.
Boobie Gibson.
Daniel Gibson. And Mo like, Williams. And
Boobie Gibson and Anderson Varejão are your next best players. But like, yeah, you know, the Miami team, like he had the big three. And then in Cleveland, he had Irving and Love. But the first finals, Love was hurt. And then the second finals, didn't Irving get hurt? Or do I have it backwards?
I might have it backwards.
Irving was out the first year. Love was out the second year. And they played arguably the greatest offensive team we've ever seen in the Warriors. So, like, yeah, LeBron's not MJ. The East was not as tough as it was when the Bulls were doing their thing in the 90s. But to try to play LeBron like he's not one of the – at worst, LeBron is one of the five best players in the game in the history of the NBA. At worst, he's number five.
Making it to the finals 8 straight years, I mean, that's just – you know. And I think people need to remember not to make excuses for LeBron when the Lakers don't make it this year. But you're talking about 8 years times an extra – at least 15 games per year that you're adding on to someone's career. That adds up. And maybe we saw that when he injured his groin. Before that, he was pretty indestructible. So I think a lot of that stuff matters when it comes to pointing the blame at LeBron for what happened this season.
Yeah. Like I said, man, LeBron is Tom Brady. Like, he's... If you're a younger generation, you can argue he's the best. If you're older, it's like, you can grudgingly give him his respect, even though you hold somebody higher. So I don't get the LeBron hate, but there's somebody Jermaine hates even more that I don't get at all, Marcus Vandenberg. This is when Jermaine goes over the line and becomes Dave Meltzer, the Chi-Town version.
Yeah.
Because Jermaine's final question for this segment, Marcus Vandenberg. If you were a wrestler and had to sit out 6 months for an injury or sickness, would you add to your game and come back with something new to put up, to bring to the table? Or would you come back exactly the same as you were when you left? You wouldn't evolve if you were just there for a paycheck. That is why Roman Reigns is the ultimate paycheck guy.
Jermaine, he had fucking leukemia. What are you talking about? What? This makes no sense. You act like he was home chilling on the couch. He had fucking leukemia. He beat leukemia again. Like, why are you?
I mean, I apologize if in between his rehabilitation sessions, he wasn't working on an arm drag, Jermaine.
Yeah. I mean, good Lord.
Like, I can walk with you on your Roman hate to a certain point, Jermaine Jones. But this is a bridge too far.
The man literally got cleared to come back, I think, the weekend before the Raw, he came back. I thought when he came back to do this thing, I thought it would be a few more weeks before he actually got involved. But to toss him right back into the mix before Mania.
Full disclosure, we're recording this on the night of Fastlane, where Roman's making his return.
I'm sure he would like more time. Listen, if this wasn't WrestleMania season, I'm sure he would have had more time to come back and sort of do whatever Jermaine wanted him to do.
work on his chain wrestling.
Yeah, considering the time of season, the fact that he was probably waiting to get cleared before he could really do anything physical. I mean, the hate has gone too far.
Like, here's the thing. Jermaine says he hasn't added anything. I would say he's added character by subtraction. Like, by not having to play the Roman Reigns character, by being able to go out there and just be Joe Anoa'i, mm-hmm. Like, he's a much more likable and believable pro wrestling character because they're allowing him to be himself.
Yeah.
So I think you're a bit off base with this one, Jermaine. You and your man Dave Meltzer.
Meltzer, who sort of alluded that the pill that Roman was taking, he was very questionable about Roman's medical treatment or what he used to beat leukemia. Which, again, like, dude, none of your business, number one. Number two, how would you know? It's a thing called HIPAA loss. If you don't know HIPAA is, look up the Jussie Smollett case where nurses were fired from the hospital for dipping into disinformation. So,
and number three, it's a pill to beat cancer.
Yeah. It's just, come on, guys. This is almost just as bad as the people who thought Roman didn't have leukemia and this was all work.
Right.
It's just like, come on. There's wrestling and then there's real life. And a lot of people need to go back and experience real life and realize that not everything is a work. Not everything is out to get you. Sometimes people do actually get sick and have things to battle and to recover from. So leave Roman alone.
I saw that question for Jermaine and I was like, you know what? Is Roman Reigns the ultimate paycheck guy? First of all, he's the opposite of that. Yeah, first of all, he's the opposite of that. But let's take his question even the tiniest bit serious for a second. Roman can never be the ultimate paycheck guy. Nobody can be the ultimate paycheck guy in an industry where Brock Lesnar is still on these streets. Because
No comment.
No comment from Marcus. Because Marcus don't want them problems. I understand. You might see Lesnar on these streets walking around in Los Angeles.
Sir. Yeah, no comment.
But yeah, to me, if you want to point at somebody who is there to get paid, which another thing, all of them are there to get paid.
Listen, that's we all get forms of income, Jermaine.
AJ Styles is there to get paid.
I'm trying to get paid.
Who's the hot indie or the NXT guy? Like Ricochet. Ricochet trying to get paid. Aleister Black is trying to get paid. All these dudes and girls is trying to get paid. So I don't see that as a valid criticism for Roman,
no,
particularly considering what he came through.
And if you're a true paycheck guy, you're not on TV every week. You're not doing media. You're not doing the house shows. You're just collecting a check. That's the total opposite of Roman Reigns.
If Roman was a true paycheck guy, he would have showed up with his brand new Roman Reigns shirt. And then just sat back and collected the royalties.
Yeah. That dude was back in the ring that night. It's just, come on.
He's wrestling on a meaningless pay-per-view that he doesn't have to tonight.
He doesn't have to.
Come on, Jermaine. I know it's been a rough...
Is John Cena a paycheck guy for those years? I mean, same thing. The dude worked... Mm-hmm. He did the media. Is The Miz a paycheck guy? Like, there are certain guys that just go above and beyond. I would put Roman in that category.
Yeah, especially now. Like, especially after seeing the, whatever the name of that special was on the network.
Yeah.
Where he's going to become more active in the company's outreach to, you know, kids that are suffering from cancer. And be more of a public face for this, for the company. Like, yeah. Roman's earned his money. It's not like I was going to throw shade at Corey Graves for no reason, just because I like throwing shade at Corey Graves.
Nah, Corey works hard.
But Corey works hard. Just not on his marriage.
That had nothing to do with the conversation.
That
was uncalled for.
It was.
Apologize to Corey Graves.
Hey, Corey Graves, I know you're listening. I know you're a patron. My bad, brother. Jermaine brought this on. Jermaine brought the petty spirit into the room. So that's my fault, Corey. I shouldn't have did that, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, so are you glad that's the last of Jermaine's questions? Because we started off on a high note with the baseball question, and then
I know what y'all niggas asking y'all. So is he gonna ever fall off?
That's a new look for Jermaine.
So that's it for this segment. We're gonna take a very quick break and come back on the other side because I need some water. I think Marcus needs to pray. We need to cleanse the podcast. We'll come back. I was gonna say cleanse the podcast, but then considering the subject matter for the next spot, this is gonna be one of those bad weeks. So stick and stay because we're going to talk some ratchetness in segment 4 on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We got more Kings of Sport right after the break. Right.
What you doing in L.A. with Filipinos and essays, Latinos and Chevys down by Pico with Federico? I answer all y'all questions, but then y'all got to go. Now the question I ask you is how bad you want to know. Black. How we do? How we do? 98. How we do? Come on. Sounds so beautiful, don't you agree, ladies and gentlemen?
Ha. That one is hot fire.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want. We got to give you what you need, and what you want and need is ratchetness in its purest form. And that is what we have to talk about this week, because the biggest story, other than Captain Marvel coming out this week. By the way, was there a lot of Captain Marvel stuff at Disney when you went last week?
Absolutely no, there wasn't.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
It'll make $1 billion, so
yeah.
Not sure Disney is concerned, but no, we're not talking about Captain Marvel, because Marcus won't see that for another 10-15 years, if
at
ever. But we're talking about, of course, the Gayle King R. Kelly interview and the fallout, more specifically, from that. So I've seen clips of the interview. I've also seen like remixes that people have done of the interview. Marcus has not seen it, but kind of judging from the cocoon of social commentary and social media and, you know, kind of the zeitgeist of this situation, what do you make of this thing with R. Kelly and this, I guess, tactic to sway the court of public opinion?
I mean, it's probably not a good idea if you're R. Kelly. I don't think it was a great idea for CBS to even give him a platform to tell a story.
Yeah.
That was a little surprising to me that Gayle even took part in the interview. So I refuse to watch it in part because it's fuck R. Kelly. I don't need to hear his excuses for what he says he didn't do. And I don't think he needs a platform. If he wants a platform, then he can find other ways to deliver his message. But to get the platform of a morning television show like CBS, it didn't sit right with me. So I did not watch it.
Yeah, from what I saw, you know, all jokes aside, because it is compelling TV. It is compelling to watch. But I think this is either one of two things. This is either R. Kelly not having control of himself and certainly the people around him not being able to pull him back? Or this is an orchestrated effort to play the victim by R. Kelly, which is a tactic that abusers will use when they're kind of found out. They will kind of try to flip the script and use, you know, stuff that's going on to them as a way to garner sympathy. And so I don't know if what we saw or what some of us saw from R. Kelly was genuine or if that was performance on CBS. Because if it's genuine, then it's like this dude is going crazy. But if it's performance, it's like he's trying to play it all and pivot it so that everybody's either like, A, this dude's crazy, or B, man, why are they doing this to Robert? I feel sorry for Robert. That seems to me to be the tactic he's trying to take.
Well, in case you feel sorry for Robert Kelly, let me read you this story, Nate, because this just came out this afternoon. A newly discovered videotape appears to show R. Kelly allegedly abusing more than one underage girl and has been sent to authorities in New York, Attorney Gloria Allward said at a press conference Sunday. Pennsylvania resident Gary Dennis found the recording while looking through an old box of videotapes in his house and approached Allward, she said. Dennis told reporters that he was sorting through his tapes when he discovered a sports tape with Kelly's name on it. Quote, I thought it was a recording of an R. Kelly concert, Dennis told reporters. To my shock and surprise, R. Kelly appeared to be on the tape, but not in concert. Instead, he was sexually abusing underage African-American girls. Dennis said the man on the tape appeared to be in control of the camera and is directing the girls on, quote, what to do and what to say, he said. In addition, he was engaging with these children in sexually abusive acts. Allred said that a person who looks like R. Kelly appears in the video and that they don't know the identity of the children in the video. How did he even get this tape?
That's crazy.
Kelly's lawyer, Steve Greenberg, said in a text message to BuzzFeed News that Kelly denied being on any tape with underage girls. Quote, the doubt here is self-evident with reporting that the man on the tape kind of sort of looks like R. Kelly. That doesn't make it him. It is not him, Greenberg said. She said the guy does not know how the tape came to be in his possession. Quote, there have been friends that gave him sports tapes because they know he liked sports. Albert explained he has no idea. He's tried to think about it also, but there's no idea. These are very old tapes.
That's a weird story. Like, and even if, like, let's say this is not true and this guy's making it up. The evidence already that we know against R. Kelly, including the sex tape that has already been out there, is enough to put this dude away. Or should be enough to put this dude away.
Yeah. I mean, I would think based on the story, there is a tape of some sort. So then that still becomes even weirder. Like, if it's not R. Kelly, then who is it?
Yeah, like.
And then, like,
was it on an old episode? Like, not to make light, but was this on like one of those old Sports Illustrated Football Follies tapes? Somebody just recorded over it.
Yeah, I mean, this is
baseball's bloopers, bleepers, and blunders. Wait a minute, that's not Tom Seaver.
The guy's black, in case that.
The guy that I found the tape.
Yeah, is it older? Probably looks like his 50s, maybe.
That's just a weird. Where you said the dude was in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
It's weird.
Yeah. That's let's see. The guy says the tape appears to have been produced in the 1990s. Adding, there's no indication of where it was filmed. Excuse me. So we're talking about 20 years, probably at least.
And that means somebody had. Okay. Here's the thing, Marcus, because this story on its face is a little bit hard to believe because you have to assume a lot of different things to happen for this tape to land here. But R. Kelly, we have known, like we've seen that this dude has held women against their will, has done sex tapes, has like the this crazy sex dungeon in his residence. And so while I find it hard to believe, because if this guy got that tape, that means that somewhere R. Kelly had to record a sex tape, first of all, for it to exist. Then he had to make a copy, I'm assuming, of the sex tape. Because this isn't the master. And so that copy or a copy of that copy was given to a friend, and that friend, instead of either A, taking that tape to the police, or B, destroying that tape, throwing it away, kept it, and it somehow ended up in the possession of another friend or a stranger down the line.
Yeah.
So I don't know your history, Marcus, with shall we say adult entertainment, but I have had adult entertainment in my life, you know, in videotape form, shall we say?
Because you're old.
Hey, kids, this is before you could just click on certain websites and get it for free. We had to work for ours back then. Mm-hmm. And I might let somebody borrow the tape if I'm extremely close with that person. But no, my entertainment was my entertainment, Marcus Vandenberg. Like, we went out here tape trading like this is New Japan back in 1983.
And we're assuming this isn't the original tape.
It can't be the master. It cannot be the master.
No, I'm talking about the original tape that was linked to R. Kelly years ago that started all this. It has to be new tape.
Yeah, it's got
to
be a different tape, yeah.
Huh.
Remember when life was simpler, Marcus, when all we had to worry about was Nigerians wearing Donald Trump hats?
Yeah. Well,
either way, it's not a good look for R. Kelly.
No.
The fact that somebody can make this up, if they did make it up, and it sounds believable or at least plausible, that means that you've already been doing some dirt.
Yeah.
Because if somebody made up this story about you, I would be like, that's ridiculous. Marcus would never do that. Like, everything I know about Marcus says he wouldn't do that. Whereas with this, you're like, I don't think it's true, but it could be. Because we know this dude's already done that. Made a sex tape with underage girls. And so it becomes plausible that it could exist.
Yeah. I think Jerry Dennis has some questions. He has two adult daughters. That's also mentioned.
Who are not the girls on the tape.
No.
So he has no connection to the tape.
Except no connection to the
possession.
To the tape
or R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. He works in a nursing home, so he's not like he's not in the music industry or anything like that.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's
How do you think this ends, Marcus Vandenberg? What's the end game, Spence, as Lebatard would say on Ballers?
I think he will end up in jail.
I do too.
For a very long time.
Yeah, I think he'll fight it as best he can, but I think ultimately he will. Like, I think he didn't he try to start to schedule a tour for Europe?
I don't know.
I think that, like, once it was right around the time the documentary came out, The Surviving R. Kelly. I think that week he had tried to organize a tour in Europe. And I think if he had gotten to Europe, we would have never seen R. Kelly in America again.
Yeah.
Because I think he would have done the Roman Polanski thing and hit out there for the rest of his life. But, yeah, like, you got charges in Chicago, in Georgia, I guess now New York, if this tape is brought to the court system. So, yeah, ain't no way you getting out of three separate precincts, brother.
Yeah, this is you know, I think much like Bill Cosby, and just like Cosby, you had a pocket of supporters that were, you know, pro Cosby, and in this case, they're super pro R. Kelly, which I do not get. I am not smart enough to understand. That might take a psychologist or a therapist to really break that down. But, you know, the people that are putting money on R. Kelly's bail, like, what?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, I can understand it even if I don't agree with it, though, because it's a couple things, Marcus. Number one, he's a celebrity. And I think famous people always have stands, regardless of what they do. The second thing is he's a black celebrity. And I think within the black community, we tend, and we saw this during OJ, we tend to assign more importance to the individual because we see it, not us specifically, but we as a people kind of see it as a reflection of the way the legal system treats us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the legal system treats black and brown people badly. So we're like, man, they trying to get OJ. Man, they trying to frame R. Kelly. They trying to railroad Bill Cosby because we see, you know, our neighbors, our brothers, our family members, you know, our friends get done dirty by the judicial system. But we I think it's transference. We transfer those feelings onto these celebrities. And I think the other thing is with musicians, it's harder to cancel musicians, I think, than like Kevin Spacey, because you can just stop watching Kevin Spacey movies. But yeah. Music, and I think we talked about this with we might have talked about this with Michael, but with music, it's the artist's work, but it becomes a part of your life. Mm-hmm. Like if there's an R. Kelly song that you remember from college, you're not thinking about R. Kelly with that. You're thinking about what I was doing in college. You know, if there's a Michael Jackson song that's, you know, played at your high school prom, you think about the prom. You ain't thinking about Michael Jackson, so to speak.
But there's being a fan of an artist and then using your own money to support a guy accused of
not
raping
support,
and
bail out to get a guy out of jail.
As a woman, I just don't understand how you can see other women who are coming forward and think, oh, let me help this guy out financially. Like that doesn't make any sense.
What's the did you ever see the Boondocks episode with R. Kelly?
Probably a long time ago.
The best thing was at the end because Huey Freeman was like, you know, you want to help R. Kelly? Get R. Kelly some counseling. Lock R. Kelly up for a while to get him away from society. You know, get the man some therapy. Introduce him to some older women. That's how you can help R. Kelly. You don't help him by aiding and abetting and excusing the actions that he's done. So, the man made good music. Like, you can't take that away from him. But because the man made good music does not excuse the hurt that he's caused to people.
Yeah.
So... In other Chicago news, Marcus, your boy, your man, Team Lightskin, your man Jesse, has he been officially got his Team Lightskin privileges revoked?
No, it's been revoked.
Been revoked?
Yeah.
Oh, so they officially brought charges up on him this week.
16 felony counts.
Damn. You ain't coming back from this one, brother.
It's not a game. Can't just be out here making up stuff. Allegedly.
All for your contract, too, if we're to believe what the story is.
Yeah.
For greed. Like, you hurt the gay community. You hurt mm-hmm. the black community. You gave ammunition to...
Which is probably the most dangerous thing.
Yeah, you gave ammunition to the crowd that would support Trump, and now they're like, see, these black people and these gay people are making stuff up. Pa-ding! And for what, man? For more money? Like, you already on a hit TV show. Yeah, you might not have had the money or the role that you wanted, but And it's like, he's a smart dude. Like, he comes from a family of social activists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? How could you be that selfish?
Fame will make you do a lot of weird things.
Nigerians involved in this, man. Bringing shame on the Nigerian community.
Yeah, that's our job. We shame one Nigerian.
Just one. Well, only just, one. We only one. Shame one. Who deserves it?
Yes.
Like, now, if these Nigerians were wearing MAGA hats and Men's Warehouse suits, then there might have been a connection.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of them threw a marker at me. Oh. What else, Marcus? Did you watch any of the Michael Jackson doc?
No, I have not.
You plan to?
I'm going to try.
It's a rough one, man. Like, I watched part one. I haven't gotten around to watching part two. But yeah, it's another rough one. Like, again, Mike made some of the greatest, like, even more so than R. Kelly. Mike made some of the greatest music in the history of music. But if these allegations are true, then that does not excuse what he's done. You know, granted, Mike's, it's a little bit different because Mike's dead. So justice truly can't be served.
For all the Mike troopers, man, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's just too much smoke.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's not like we're talking about someone who's never been accused of this stuff and all of a sudden they're releasing this documentary after he died. Like, there's something there.
Yeah. And like I said, I'll probably get around to watching part two just so I can get the full extent of what they're trying to present in regards to Mike and the relationship with these two boys at the time, now young men, or I guess men, like they're grown as men now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it is a situation where if you still want to listen to Michael Jackson music, I can't, you know, criticize you on that. Because again, I think
what about R. Kelly?
R. Kelly, I think like 99.9% of R. Kelly's catalog might have to go. Because you talk about like a lot of his stuff, like She Got That Vibe. I think like on the remix, Aaliyah's name is in the actual song. Seems Like You're Ready. My man, every song he said, it's the Pied Piper. Trapped mm-hmm. in the closet. He trying to tell you what's going on with his life, but y'all didn't want to listen. So I think, yeah, R. Kelly, yeah. You might be canceled. Mike, that's a tougher one.
Well, the cancellation process has already started for Mike. Including a famous Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
That got pulled.
Lisa, it's your birthday.
Yeah. So.
I think they did like one of the later episodes. Simpsons, like within the last couple years, they did like a callback to that episode.
Oh, really?
Like, Michael Jackson impersonator, because it was like Lisa's ninth birthday, and Bart wanted to get her something like recycled that dude, Leon Kapowski. And then she's like, nah, I've heard this song already. yeah, man, it's going to be interesting because I think I was talking with somebody on Twitter, and they were like, people will quote-unquote cancel Mike for a while, but I guarantee you by the time we get to October, people are going to be playing Thriller. And I was like, you might be right.
But who, I mean, who was playing Thriller in 2018 to begin with?
The Halloween DJ. I don't know his name. But yeah.
No more Captain EO, huh?
Do you think... You know, we're just about to bring him back. Do you think, because I know Spotify, I think they removed all their R. Kelly music. I think they might have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they would go to that step and remove Mike and the Jackson 5? Because I don't think they will. I think they might not feature it as much, but I don't think they're going to get rid of everything Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Looking at the R. Kelly thing. Looks like it was last year for Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
As for Mike, I mean, it's very tricky because even with R. Kelly, he has not been found guilty yet, somehow, some way. So the idea of pulling either one's music, I mean, definitely have the right to do so, but it feels a little like a gray area knowing that in Mike's case, he was not charged with or convicted of any crime. He's been now dead for 10 years.
Yeah.
It just seems a little like, listen, don't listen. If you don't want to listen to it, don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to listen to it, listen to it. That I think you should have that option. So that's where I feel like they probably won't touch this music.
And like, if you're a music service, like, and part of your kind of mission statement is we've got the history of music, you cannot omit Michael Jackson from the history of music. And there's a bunch of people from the Elvis era who were creeps and messed with underage girls. And we
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, we still got Jerry Lee Lewis music up there. You know what I'm saying? So I think you can certainly make people aware through this documentary, but I don't think that Michael Jackson is going to get quote-unquote canceled.
Hold on. Jerry Lee Lewis, number one, still alive. Did not know that.
And he just got a paycheck from the WWE, what was it, last year or the year before, for Great Balls of Fire?
Yeah. And yes, he married his 13-year-old cousin.
Mm.
So let that sink in for a little bit.
Mm.
not only, 33-year-old cousin, okay, that's still fucked up.
A little suspect, a lot suspect.
But 13-year-old cousin? Come on.
Right. And I think, Priscilla
but no one's asking to
was,
have his, yeah.
I think Priscilla was a teenager when she married Elvis. And Elvis was a grown-ass dude.
Yeah, so. I don't see the cancellation of certain artists.
So, yeah, I think it's certainly going to sour the memory of Michael Jackson. But I won't listen to as much Michael Jackson. Speaking for myself, I won't listen to it as much. But if you want to be starting something pops up on my Spotify mix, I'm not switching it because that song is fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like Billie Jean, that song is fire.
Yeah, I mean, until I watch it, I don't. You know, maybe it'll change me after I watch it, but I don't think I would change the song if it came on. I mean, R. Kelly definitely. I mean, it's very rare you hear R. Kelly song on the radio these days. I mean, even Chris Brown is someone where if he's on the radio, I turn it off. I just can't do Chris Brown. Anyway, maybe that will change after watching this documentary.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's the only gripe I have with the documentary is it feels one-sided because there is no participation from the other side. That's the only knock I'll say on the documentary. It's certainly told from one perspective and point of view.
Yeah.
But it is like if this is true and what these men are saying on the documentary, like it's a bad look. It's disgusting. It's certainly criminal. And if Michael were alive, you know, I'd want him to faithful. Like I was saying earlier, these songs to me, yeah, they're of the artist, but particularly when you talk about Michael Jackson, I think people have a personal connection to him that goes beyond whatever Michael did or didn't do. So, especially like those Jackson 5 songs, man, the old songs. If those Jackson 5 songs pop up on my Spotify, I'm not skipping Rockin' Robin. I ain't skipping that. Stop the Love You Save. I ain't skipping that. I'm sorry. I know somebody's out there like, Nick, you listen to that because it's fire.
But what if more evidence came out and like definitive evidence? What if he was alive and he was convicted?
I think I might draw the line at Lil' Kid Michael, because Lil' Kid Michael ain't hurt nobody. Lil' Jackson 5 Michael ain't hurt nobody. He was getting beat up by Joe every day. That little boy was innocent. I'm going to listen to all the Jackson 5 and stop around Beat It era.
Okay.
Maybe Bad. That's the cutoff. When Michael starts getting lighter, that's when the music got to go. but yeah, I think that's going to be it for this week, Marcus, because I feel like Skype is getting ready to start acting up.
Skype is ready to watch Fastlane.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know Marcus is you got your popcorn ready, as Tio would say. Any big matches you looking forward to tonight?
No, not really.
He's like, can we just get to WrestleMania already?
Pretty much.
All right, so Marcus Vandenberg, if the people want to hit you up on social media and they want to talk to you about who are some other paycheck guys in professional sports, where can they reach you?
You can reach me at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And again, if you had some issues with the second part of the show and some of the questions, you can give a shout out to our friend, fan of the program, friend of the program, our good buddy Jermaine Jones. You can find him on Twitter at Jermaine611. So send him your fan mail.
Yes.
Or Roman Reigns support. I'm sure Jermaine will appreciate that this weekend.
And even though he didn't ask for it, Jermaine, the Cubs will not win the NL Central this year. There you go.
Wow.
Extra content for you, Jermaine.
What about the Blackhawks? Give them some extra.
Blackhawks suck. They're not making the playoffs.
What about the Bears?
The Bears will make the playoffs again next year.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they weren't bad last year.
Yeah.
So there you go. Marcus is the Chicago Fire still a thing? The soccer team?
Yeah, they're still a thing. Uh-huh.
How about them? What's your prediction for the Chicago Fire?
Missing the playoffs again.
Mm. So there you have it, Jermaine. We gave you that for free.
Yep.
That was a little bonus. So you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, KOSPOD, KOS_POD on Twitter. Facebook.com/ Kings of Sport, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Unlike R. Kelly, we are on Spotify.
We are.
Hooray. Spotify, iHeartRadio podcast, as well as, I think I said Stitcher already. Stitcher, Google Play, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcast, that's where we'll be found. And the Patreon, Kings of Sport, patreon.com/Kings of Sport. If you would like to have, you know, your thoughts on the show, your music on the show, much like Brother Jermaine this week, check out the Patreon, sign up for one of the reward tiers, and we'll make that happen. So unless you got anything else, Marcus, I think it's time for Fastlane.
That's all I got.
All right, so for Marcus Vandenberg, I think I skipped a step. We'll be back next week with another all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. And I think that'll start our official roll to WrestleMania next week,
all right,
So... For Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. My kind of town, Chicago is my kind of town. My kind of people, too. People who smile at you. Except for Jermaine, because when Roman Reigns comes out, he goes boo. That's the Chicago remix. And you've been down with the king. Did I Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-D-D-Y-F-X-X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, 'cause that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!